UCB. The universe. Make some noise for Not My Backyard.
Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Not In My Backyard. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. This is the show where we debate all of the issues that are causing drama in your local Facebook group, or God forbid, if you're on Nextdoor.
Yeah, we go on these platforms so you don't have to. And you're welcome. You're welcome for that. We just like to say at the top of the show, we are a married couple.
We're a married couple.
I say that in case there's a will they, won't they. They do.
That we have.
We have
two children.
Yeah.
We met here at the UCB Theater almost 20 years ago. So almost
to the month. Next month will be 20 years ago.
Four UCB locations ago, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've been performers and comedians here at the theater for a long time. We've also been very interested in local politics. Mm-hmm. I serve on the Transportation Planning Committee of the Manhattan Community Board 4.
Yeah.
Thank you. Give it up for TPC. However, the views I express tonight are not necessarily the views of Community Board 4.
Yes. And I serve on my Community Education Council for District 2, and again, the views expressed here are not the views of the council, just my own individual.
But Cody is part of the community education. She just won. People who've been here before may know this, but she won an election this spring that ousted a couple of people from Moms for Liberty, and they got rid of the,
They will say that they're not at Moms for Liberty, but
There were some people who appeared on Fox News a lot who are no longer there. Council rescinded the anti-trans resolution that's been causing so much trouble. That's great news.
That was a good vote.
So this show is recorded as a podcast, so you can subscribe to our podcast if for some reason you can't be here at our next show.
Or if you want to listen again, because you're like, wow, I just missed something. I want to get it.
Better in person. Come in person. Our next show is going to be on Wednesday, October 29th at 7 p.m. right here at UCB Theater. And we have Daily Show writer Nicole Conlon and many more guests to come. Before we get started and bring out our great panel, we've got a great panel tonight.
Oh, such a good panel.
Very excited about our panel tonight. We like to do a little pop quiz with our audience.
We want to see how smart you guys are.
That's right. Test your New York knowledge.
Yeah.
Anybody can shout out the answer to these first couple of questions. Last month, Eric Adams campaign advisor Winnie Greco tried to give journalists and past guests of this show, Katie Honan, a cash bribe. How was the bribe delivered and how much money was it?
Sour cream and onion.
Potato chip bag, sour cream and onion. We've
anyone got... know the brand?
Lay's is wrong.
No.
The H one is correct. Hers. How much money was the bribe? 100? More than that?
Price is Right rules.
It was $300. $300. All right, we got a lot of smart people in here. We know the brand of potato chips that Katie Honan was bribed with. Okay. Another bribery question. For some reason, a lot of bribery questions.
Yeah, New York. What's up with that?
So last month, it was revealed that Eric Adams' former chief advisor and longtime close associate, Ingrid Lewis-Martin, received a bribe from the Argento family that owns Broadway Stages, in exchange for canceling a bike lane on McGinnis Boulevard in Greenpoint. There were three parts to this bribe.
Yeah.
Let's do it by hand. Raise your hand. Who knows one of the bribes? Yes. $10,000 worth of catering, including Giant Trip at Gracie Mansion.
Yes.
Right here.
She got a walk-in part on some role in one of their productions.
She got a walk-on part on what show? Back here. The Godfather of Harlem.
Someone said Law and Order, and I mean, that would be worth the bribe. I have been on Law and Order, brag, and I did not take away a bike lane for it.
No.
No.
Anybody know the final bribe? What's 10 grand on the money? You got it. Okay.
Wow, you guys know your bribes.
Very good.
All keeping right, an eye on you.
The next quiz is a head-to-head quiz. So I'm going to need two volunteers to come on stage to compete against each other. And I'm going to tell you the topic of the quiz first. And it is Manhattan neighborhoods.
There's somebody up here whose friends are throwing her under the bus.
So raise your hand if you wanna come down from Manhattan neighborhoods.
All right, you gotta come up.
We need another challenger.
You had
anyone
to.
Else?
We need one more.
One more. Volunteer. Right here. Okay.
All right, come on up.
You'll go over there.
All right. What's your name?
Paul.
Paul. Everybody, welcome, Paul. And what's your name?
Sasha.
Paul and Sasha. Let's give it up for both of these guys.
Okay.
Okay. Darrell, if we can get the first slide up with the map. Okay, so we have Councilmember Eric Butcher on the show tonight. This is his council district,
in
District
blue.
3 in blue. And we're going to see which one of you can name the most neighborhoods in Council District 3.
So we're going to go back and forth.
Back and forth style. So, Paul, you can stand over there by Cody.
Paul.
And Sasha, we'll have you go first because you volunteered first. So you say one, and then we go until I know clues from the audience, please.
Yeah.
So take a good look. Council District 3. It gets a little hairy around Broadway. What's what? But, okay. So we'll start with Sasha. Name a neighborhood.
Chelsea.
Chelsea is correct.
Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, the best.
Tribeca.
Tribeca is wrong.
Okay,
unfortunately. Paul.
Paul
for the steal.
Times Square.
Times Square counts as a neighborhood.
Yes.
Give it up for Paul. And give it up for Sasha for playing. Thank you both.
All right, some other ones that you missed. All right.
Well, let's see if the audience, you guys can sit down. Thank you very much.
You guys can sit down. Thank you guys very much.
Give it up one more time. Let's
Anyone
see.
Shout out some ones that we missed.
Yeah, what was missed?
West Village, yep. Iconic, yeah.
Flatiron.
Flatiron.
Hudson Yards, yes.
Yeah.
Nomad.
Yes.
Meatpacking. Here's an obscure one that I found on a map that I don't think is commonly used anymore. Tenderloin. Tenderloin. Anybody ever been to the Tenderloin?
Yeah.
It is San Francisco, but it's also still on some maps for New York. It's like north of Nomad.
Well, kinda. This is what's confusing to me. Midtown and Midtown South. Like, okay, it's all Midtown? I don't know.
Yeah, the real estate terms, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, are you guys ready to meet our incredible panel? All right, let's get a little panel music going, and please welcome our first guest. He is the editor-in-chief of Streets Blog NYC, and you've seen his criminal mischief project profiled by places like The Daily Show. Please welcome Gersh Kuntzman.
She's a comedian and veteran of the UCB Theater, writer and performer with Abortion Access Front. Please welcome Molly Gaby.
And he's the council member representing all the neighborhoods we just discussed, and most importantly, our neighborhood.
Our neighborhood.
Hell's Kitchen. Please welcome council member Eric Butcher.
Yes, full disclosure, we live in Hell's Kitchen, and it is the best neighborhood, so that should have been one of the questions. What's the best neighborhood? Although, you know, that is subjective.
Eric, do you do a lot of constituent services in the Tenderloin district?
So I was explaining to Gersh what the Tenderloin was, which is the
area. No, we shouldn't tell him about that. That was in the green room.
Tenderloin was the area where Penn Station currently is, and they essentially demolished it around the time of Penn Station's construction. And there's a sad element to it, because it was a neighborhood of African-American folks, very rich in culture. But when you mentioned the Tenderloin, I was like, does Charlie still think we call it the Tenderloin?
When I Googled New York City neighborhood maps, it's still on the first result. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I could be wrong.
No, I knew that was an obscure one.
We're bringing it back. All right, well, we want to start off with something that that has been bugging me for a while, public urination. It's the end of summer, the end of those lovely pee smells that we have. Public urination tickets are way up under Eric Adams, going from 2,000 a year in 2022 to over 10,000 in the 12-month period beginning in July of this year. Obviously, we need more public restrooms in the city, but in the meantime, is ticketing the way to discourage peeing on the streets? And I just want to say, anecdotally, 2 days ago, I was walking at 5 p.m. in Hell's Kitchen, and this man that just looked like the most, you know, like you see people pee. This man was very put together, and he just pulled his dick out and peed on the side of a building at 5 p.m. It was very disturbing. I stopped and I stared at this man, and I thought, are you okay? He wasn't drunk. I don't know. So anecdotally, I think it's going up.
I have a solve, I think, for this. I think since it's so incredibly easy for men to piss wherever the hell they want,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can just take a newspaper and stand in a corner and bingo, bingo, it's done.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, women, if we want to publicly urinate,
it's a
we've
whole
got
situation.
A drop trowel. bear down and take up space.
If you're wearing a jumpsuit, forget
Absolutely not. Forget it. So I think we should think of these tickets like a sort of convenience tax for men. You know how like we have the pink tax for tampons? We should have a little prick tax. You know? It's their privilege. They should be taxed for it.
Can I just ask, how does the newspaper work? I need a little bit more on... Is that a funnel that's going into another container?
Yeah, it's a whole... It's very complicated. My female brain can't even understand
Sounds like Charlie's doing research for the next time he needs a bathroom.
I think you got it all wrong, though. I think what we need is more tiling on the walls of these buildings. Because then it wouldn't have been as disgusting. It's so much easier to
clean. I saw his full... penis.
And how was it?
Full penis.
How was it?
It was very... It's what you would expect. And I'll just say that.
Tax it based on size.
Yeah. I think that's a... can we get that passed in the city council, Eric?
Wait, what? The penis size amendment?
We got it here. He said he's down. Totally. It's happening. We believe it's happening. Do you think that it is interesting. We read that... They don't think that people are peeing more, but they're trying to discourage people from peeing, but the tickets aren't really working. Is there another way, or we just build more bathrooms?
Tisch has sent out a directive that they're going to begin enforcing quality of life violations, and this is probably part of that.
It is a quality of life issue.
It is.
But what's the real quality of life issue is we have no public toilets.
Yes.
This guy could do something about that. That's going to be a little bit of a theme, by the way.
All right, let's move on to topic number two. If we could get photo number two up of the humanoid robot. So this has happened last month. A humanoid robot was walking around New York City and reading from the New York Post. The humanoid stunned passerby as it strutted through Midtown, grabbing hot dogs, trying on sneakers, and racking up viral attention in a wild promo stunt. So it's a promo for the robotics company, I guess. The robot is priced around $100,000. Are we ready for robots to take Manhattan and join us on the sidewalks?
Yes, Queen. Yes. Well, my question is, when it was walking around, did anybody ask it to smile more? Anything that takes heat off
laughed.
Of women.
Every man didn't get that joke, but every woman was like, yeah.
So the
every
robot,
day.
Yeah, the robot video I saw, it was wearing a cowboy hat, and it was walking around, and it was insulting people, and they loved it. It was like a New York robot.
He was like the naked robot?
People were loving it. It was telling off people and with this cowboy hat on.
Imagine
it was a New York moment.
Imagine if it whipped out its pixel and started peeing on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? Cody?
I think it sounds great. Sounds really good.
The naked cowboy.
What is the point of this?
I think it was a viral stunt for a robotics company, but yeah, I don't want to be dealing with that on the sidewalk, I don't think.
And by the way, it doesn't matter if we're ready for it or not. Robotics are coming, and I have a friend who works at Meta in robotics. And AI and robotics, and I asked him, are we going to have robot servants in our lifetime? He said, in our lifetime, 5 years, you're going to have robot servants in your apartment.
Does a Roomba count as a servant?
Totally.
Well, in that respect, we've had them already for a few years.
I've been wanting a Roomba for a while, so put it on the list. We want to talk about endorsements. This has been a real big issue
In
the mayor's race and also in our household. In the last week, Governor Hochul finally endorsed Zohran. Woody Allen endorsed Cuomo. Sorry.
Say no more.
It's so perfect. And Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Hakeem Jeffries still can't make up their minds. Eric, you endorsed Zohran. What do you think is the holdup of the other elected Democrats?
I don't know. I think some of them, there's national politics tied up in it. But my position is that in Democratic primaries, after Democratic primaries, we always say we have to get behind the Democratic nominee. We said that to the Bernie folks when Hillary got the nomination. We said that to the Bernie folks when Biden got the nomination, that after primaries, we have to come together as a party and get behind the nominee. And I just felt like it would be really inconsistent for all of us when we have a Democratic nominee, in this instance, not to get behind the nominee.
Certainly there's a better reason to get behind the nominee than consistency, Councilman. Do you support the nominee?
So he's a reporter, by the way, Kirsch.
Well, he's a politician.
Hey, he did endorse him. He did endorse him. I will say the reason this has been so, every day I've been walking into our home at least like once or twice a week, and I hear Charlie leaving a very strongly worded voicemail to Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah, I've been calling them like a couple times a week, and
it is the joy of my life to hear this man be like, "Who are you? What's your plan? Do you have a plan? Who are you planning on supporting?"
But it's just so ludicrous that they haven't endorsed, because the options are corrupt mayor who's, everyone around him has taken bribes, who's being, you know, blackmailed by Trump, obviously. Kirsten Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer are not going to vote for him or support him. The other one is a literal Republican, Curtis Leiba, who we'll talk about in a little bit. And then the other one is the serial sexual harasser who they all called on to resign as governor,
alleged,
who resigned in disgrace, who lost in a landslide in the primary and is polling behind in a landslide. So there's no choice.
Like, they must be conducting an environmental impact study to see what the impact of a socialist will be on the landscape of New York. You don't know the shadows it might cast, the noise pollution. You never know. Those things take time.
Wait, Charlie, when you call Schumer's office, do you use that tone you were just using? Because they love that.
I do use the tone. I mean, I usually get, if a human answers the phone, it's like, you know, a 28-year-old staffer who I can tell probably agrees with me. He's like, "I can't speak on behalf of the senator," you know. But I just, you know, when we don't have a lot of power in New York in terms of, like, we don't have competitive, you know, general elections generally. Both of these candidates, I think, both these senators will be primaried, so that will be interesting. But that's what I tell them, like, you're going to be primary. There's hundreds of thousands. I'm 46, but there's a lot of people who are 26 who are out in the streets voting for the first time and organizing for Zoran, and they got to get on board or they're going to be organized against very soon.
I do want to throw some shade on our former Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, who was giving an interview on Rachel Maddow and said some shit about New York City.
What did she say?
She said, when she was asked about endorsement, and she said, you know, she did her Gersh long-winded endorsement that was kind of not really an endorsement, but was an endorsement.
Wait, do I do that?
No, I was saying, you know, that we're talking about some of the politicians who are like, here's all the reasons I don't agree with him, but I endorse him. But then she said, "I know New Yorkers think they're the center of the universe, but they're not." And I just want to point out that we don't. It's not our problem that people are obsessed with our mayoral race. Now, I think that means everyone else thinks we're the center of the universe, because we are, but we don't think that.
It would be great if nobody in the country gave a shit about who was mayor of New York, and we could all just elect the person we want to elect without people having to worry about, well, what does this mean for national politics? What does this mean for the special election in Omaha next year? Who gives a fuck?
Who's the mayor of Omaha, Charlie?
I don't know. I want bike lanes. I want my trash picked up. I want the rats gone. I want all the municipal things that'll make my life better that are, you know, our current mayor is not getting done.
Yes.
I want to talk about Curtis Sliwa for a little bit. There's some breaking news on him, actually. But this week, Trump weighed in on Curtis Sliwa's mayoral candidacy. He said, "I'm a Republican, but Curtis is not exactly prime time," he told Fox and Friends. "He wants cats in Gracie Mansion. We don't need thousands of cats." I think Curtis, he has 6 cats in his Upper West Side apartment.
No, he wants to unleash thousands of cats to control rats around. It's kind of like my April Fool's joke, except rats instead of snakes.
I honestly, that's one of my favorite policy positions of his. Like, unleash the cats. That's fine. We got to control unleash the mice and the rats. I'm fine with that.
Our kids would be very happy with that.
Yeah. But this afternoon, I don't know if everyone heard, he gave an interview where he said that he has been approached by emissaries of 7 different very wealthy people offering him money to leave the race. And he said, if an 8th person does it, I will be calling them out and naming the past 7 people who have done it. And then the reporter said, "Well, are you staying in the race?" And he said, "Cross my heart and hope to die, I'm staying in this race." And I have to say, like, this might be a little controversial, but if we had ranked choice voting, I might rank him number 2 out of these people. I really might. I mean, I hate Adams and Cuomo so much, and sure, he's a Republican. I don't agree with him on 90% of stuff, but I do appreciate that he seems
Except
to have principles.
Yeah,
just the cat. One other thing about Curtis is I did the Transportation Alternatives bike ride this weekend. My son and I did a 55-mile ride, and we went all the... Thank you so much. I got a medal for it.
You didn't do 100?
Well, I was with an 11-year-old, which is... I was pretty impressed. He did almost 60 miles. So it was amazing. But we biked through every neighborhood in Brooklyn, and the only campaign signs I saw through Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens were Curtis Sliwa. And there were a lot of them in South Brooklyn, Coney Island, Sheepshead Bay, that area. A lot of houses had campaign signs for him. I didn't see any. I mean, Zoran's in like every deli or whatever. But
he put them there because he wanted you to know he's going to take away those bike lanes that you were biking on. Just to be clear,
say bye bye.
I'm not actually a Curtis Sliwa stan, but I appreciate that, you know, he tells it like it is. He seems to be a genuine person.
Give credit where credit is due. A slightly noble act by refusing the money, but I do feel like with the other two staying in the race, this is the first time that toxic masculinity is really helping out the Democratic Party. These fucking idiots refuse to take probably great bribes to get out of the race because of their pride. And I love that for democracy. So thank you, toxic masculinity, for coming in and saving us.
All right, we have a couple of animal topics. We always have some animal issues in the show.
We started with cats, and now we're moving forward with more.
We're moving to horses. So last month, a 15-year-old horse named Lady passed out and died on 11th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. The Central Park Conservancy has come out against horse-drawn carriages for the first time, calling them unsafe and damaging to the Central Park's roads and incompatible with its growing crowds. And there have been multiple instances this summer of horses running wild in the park. And now Eric Adams has announced that he supports a ban. Is it time to stop making horses work in our city? Eric, I know you've gone to a lot of rallies for this. I think I know where you stand.
By the way, not horses running wild in a good way, like in a meadow, but like out of control, chasing, like dragging the carriage with people diving out of the way. There's a video that shows people like diving out of the way of this carriage. I mean, someone got really close to being killed. I just think that in 2025, we shouldn't have horses dragging carriages through midtown traffic, nose to tailpipe, for tourist entertainment. I don't think we should be continuing it. It's city after city has banned it. Recently, Austin, Texas, cities around the world, there's many, many examples of it being phased out. And we can do it here.
But why are we always last to do it?
We had a question. Why are you always last to do it?
New York exceptionalism. We're so much better than everybody else. No, but a lot of cities are replacing these horse-drawn carriages with electric vehicles. So you'd ostensibly be in an open-air car going through Central Park. And as you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time getting cars out of Central Park. So
I don't think we would do the car idea. The classic car idea was put out there a lot 10, 15 years ago. So I don't think we would replace them with classic cars, but I think there's lots of other different ideas that could be brought to the table to bring employment to the people who work in that industry.
Like teenagers?
How about robots?
Robots.
You get on the back of a robot and you walk through Central Park.
Robot piggyback rides.
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes sense
write
to me.
That down.
I mean, someone write that down. it's definitely going to pick up. Well, the pedicabs, too, have been huge. I feel like I see more. We walk into Central Park every day, and I feel like I see more pedicabs than horses. It's just so weird. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. Why are they still there?
It seems weird, but when I travel, I find myself doing weird things like riding in pedicabs. And in New York...
Anything
like,
else you want to confess, Councilman? They're not here.
Well,
they're
you
not
know,
here.
Like in New York, we'll be down on Houston Street and we'll see people waiting for an hour for Katz's Deli. Well, then I'm waiting an hour in Munich for like a Frankfurter, you know... So that's me when I'm traveling. So I get why people want to get, you know, they want to come up with cool things to do. By the way, I'm not against pedicabs. I just think they have to stop being obnoxious.
Oh, I like that they have themes.
Yeah.
It's fun. It'll be like the Billy Joel pedicab. I have to, like, recuse myself from this conversation because I have, A, been in a horse-drawn carriage. B, I love the pedicabs.
You took one here.
I did take one here. I'm sorry.
$600 to get Chelsea here.
Worth it.
Biased.
Now, you had legislation on the pedicabs because they were, like, playing the Alicia Keys so loud that you could hear it inside the Broadway houses, right?
Yeah. So Keith Powers and I have a bill that will require them to be 500 feet from the entrance of a Broadway theater. So when you walk outside, first of all, you can hear them during the show playing. I love Empire State of Mind. I don't want to hear it during Waiting for Godot, okay? And then you walk outside and there's a wall of these pedicabs and they're just, you know, everyone's boxed in. So we have a bill that will put them away from the theater entrance.
But shouldn't the bill be that they can't play
the
music?
Here comes the recorder. No, here comes the reporter.
Basically force them miles away from where their customer base is. Why can't the bill be they can't play music
against,
in front of the theater?
I think they could play.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
there's,
why don't you
there's
enforce
rules
that?
That are being broken and they are. Cracking down. I mean, the PD's been seizing.
Well, I hate that.
Yeah, they've been seizing a lot of. Well, here's the thing about the pedicabs is a lot of them are not licensed. And when I and others called for them to start enforcing the rules, we actually got thanked by a lot of pedicab drivers because there's unlicensed pedicab drivers that are bad actors. So, you know, we have folks out there who are playing by the rules. The bad ones are ruining it for everybody.
One more pitch on the problem of it being crowded when you get out of a Broadway house with all the pedicabs. Get rid of all the cars. Just pedestrianize every street in front of every Broadway house. Now we got space. You know, maybe a pedicab line. All right, we want to move on. We've talked about rats a little bit already, but we want to get back to talk about the rat infestation on the Upper West Side. So there's a massive rat infestation at 96 and Broadway in the center median. We have a picture of these rats, unfortunately, if we can put that up. There's also, a side note, there's been a rat problem in some Central Park playgrounds where rats are hopping into the bottoms of strollers.
This hit home.
Which
this
is
hit home
horrifying.
For me because we used to go to this specific playground a lot with our stroller, and that is like my worst nightmare to come home when there's a rat in my stroller. Oh,
bringing
my gosh. I saw
check.
One. Speaking of Facebook, as I said, we go on Facebook so you don't have to. There was one woman last week that said a rat had jumped up and chewed the top of a bottle. The nipple of the bottle chewed it off, and she saw the rat chew off the nipple of the bottle.
New York, concrete jungle, and dreams of it.
So this issue, getting back to this issue at 96 and Broadway, according to local council member Gail Brewer, the pigeons here are fed by over a dozen people daily, starting at 6 a.m., and the pigeons have become familiar with this routine, and they congregate at set times throughout the day. And the rats are eating what the pigeons are not eating. So the question is not about rats. The question is about pigeons. It's not illegal to feed birds in New York. Should it be illegal to feed pigeons? And not just the council member, because you got to weigh in with your opinion, too.
It should be illegal for the pigeons not to eat every damn scrap of bird seed, and then there wouldn't be a problem.
I have a fix.
Can you enforce that, though?
The pigeons should clean their plate.
Yeah, I have a fix for this. Okay, so the pigeons are there because they want the food. So if they didn't want the food, they wouldn't go there. We give birth control to rats. Ozempic for pigeons. They're going to forget about it. They're not going to have any food noise. They're going to get to the end of the day and be like, I didn't even think about bread or seeds all day. I forgot to go to the plaza. Bingo, bingo.
So no, but
public health
but
solved.
Then,
side effects.
Then the eagles and the owls start taking it even though they don't need it. Yeah. And there's a supply shortage.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, people are going to take advantage
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
I've already heard that the Upper East Side rats are or pigeons are already taking it.
They're so skinny.
Yeah.
No, they look incredible.
Side effects include a permanent erection, though, so you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. I always am.
We had a corner in Hell's Kitchen that was on our kids' school corner, and there somebody would come every day and dump a whole thing of lo mein every morning.
For the pigeons.
Every fucking
I've
morning to feed
that
the pigeons.
Happen. I've yeah. been walking down the street
yeah.
and watched someone open a bag and dump a plate of spaghetti and meatballs on the ground and walk and keep walking.
But this corner specifically, it was like a...
It wasn't bad, actually.
The Bucatini Bandit.
Yeah, now this corner, I'll call it out, since we have the council member here, 47th and 9th.
It's gotten better.
Corner used to be a Starbucks. It's an abandoned building. I know you're familiar with it. But yeah, this pigeon lady, I don't know if that's a term, a pejorative term, but... this woman,
she's a lady and she feeds
this
pigeons.
This woman who feeds pigeons was feeding them chicken tikka masala and lo mein and just like full-on... things of food. All right, I want to talk about a particular dog, and then we'll wrap up the animal section here. If we could have photo number 4 up. There is a dog that sits in front of Citi Field, and a lot of Mets fans probably are. By the way, the show will be over before the Mets game, I'm told.
Did you have to pay for that photo?
No. There is a dog that sits in front of Citi Field as fans arrive at Mets game who is dressed in Mets gear and has a pipe in his mouth taking photos for tips. The owner apparently owns multiple pit bulls that he has trained to do this even on hot summer days. Animal rights activists say that it's animal cruelty and only a dog trained via a shock collar would be able to hold a pipe in his mouth in the summer without needing to pant. One activist has gone so far as to dress up like a dog and stand next to the working pup, encouraging fans to take his photo instead and donate to the ASPCA. Gersh, you're a Mets fan. I don't know if you've seen this dog.
Oh, I know that dog.
Do you think, is this dog a welcome sight or is this animal abuse?
Everybody loves Met Dog. Let's be clear on that. You come off the subway, but you don't take a picture with him because then you got a tip. But you always feel bad. You feel terrible for the dog. And then you go into the stadium and you feel a hell of a lot worse lately. But you know, he's very cute, though, and he is well-behaved.
Yeah, that's probably abuse. Just
probably.
Probably, but you know, it's setting the tone for the abuse the baseball team's going to feel inside. Am I right? Just kidding. I don't know anything about the Mets. I don't. Are they good or are they
they're
bad?
They're terrible.
Okay. Oh,
no, they're good this year.
Okay, great.
They're good this year. Okay, great, right? Then, they're good this year.
Well, they've been playing poorly, but they're coming back, right, Gersh?
I don't know why I'm responsible for this team. I'm not responsible for this team. I happen to watch them on occasion. We're friends. I barely know them.
This is your dog, right, Gersh?
I like the furry as protests, though. The guy showing up.
I thought that was creative protest. Respect. It's tough. I think it's hard to, like, you look at this dog at first glance, he seems very chill. And like he's living large, but
just
yeah.
Take the thing out of his mouth, and
it's
then he's a cute dog sitting in an outfit, and that's fine, right?
Like put a baseball bat in his mouth
dog.
Or something.
A
pipe
know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Feel bad.
A cowboy hat and a pipe? Who the hell is that? What cliche? Yeah. What stereotype is that?
There's no cohesion between the look. I agree.
You have to pay more if you want to have a catch with him. He's very good.
Yeah. And what is that pipe? It looks like a spotted lanternfly or something.
I think it has a tongue coming out of the pipe, if that is his tongue. All right, we've talked too much about this Met dog. I want to talk about traffic. We've got the UN in town this week.
What's the point of the UN? Do we even know what the point of it is? Yep. I'm quoting our president, everyone.
So every day,
we weren't going to bring him up. We do sometimes.
Every day this week is a gridlock alert day due to the United Nations General Assembly. And so we ask people not to drive on these gridlock alert days. But shouldn't on these days we just double the congestion pricing charge? Would that be a way to do it? Unfortunately, I learned this week that the U.S. Department of State passed a rule when congestion pricing began in January that diplomats don't have to pay the tolls. So, yeah. And they also park wherever they want to park, I suppose.
And also, I've learned from television shows on Lifetime that if they murder someone, they're allowed to leave the country and it's fine. I think that's true based on the Lifetime Television for Women movies that I've seen. That's my only research. Don't quote me on it, but...
So,
wow, that was like a 90s deep cut television for women. I remember when they said that.
That is what a white woman from the Midwest who's 45 years old was doing in 1997.
So good.
And there's some of you out there, I think maybe you're with me on that.
You ever see the trailer for that one? He was an ambassador from Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
She was really good.
I think it's true.
It ended in
murder. I don't
want
to do any research to find out that it's not true.
So, Gersh, is there any flexibility? You know the congestion pricing
here.
Like the back of your hand. Can we have flexible pricing, or does Kathy just get to decide?
We can, but the governor said no. It's part of the bill that created congestion pricing that the MTA could do surge pricing on gridlock alert days. There's like 20 or 30 of them every year. And the governor, after the New York Post wrote about that, it was not a controversial part of the bill. The governor read the Post and immediately got rid of that provision. So we can't have it until she's gone. which I know you're working on.
Or she could change her mind. I don't know. I'm coming around to Kathy. We'll see who else is in the field. I like that she unpaused it. I don't know. She's doing a little better than she. I used to call her every day.
Can you do an imitation of that call?
This time last. That call. Kathy, hi. I live in Hell's Kitchen. There's traffic on 9th Avenue, and it's your fault. Why did you pause this? Please unpause it.
When I come home and I hear that voice, he's either talking to the cable company and trying to get his bill lowered or a politician. You never know. We do want to talk about another politician who has announced his retirement after 34 years in Congress and in advance of his 80th birthday. Spry young man Jerry Nadler announced this month he would not seek re-election. Has anyone here heard any rumors of someone who might be running for a seat? Anyone? Molly, I'm looking at you. Are you running?
Yes. I'm 40 years old, so I got another 70 years of public service in me, according to...
Gersh, where do you live?
I live outside the district, unfortunately. I'm in Representative Dan Goldman's district, and you should hear my phone calls to him.
Wait, so four of us here are in his district, and which one of us is going to run? Charlie? Molly?
Not going to be me. No. Eric, you thinking about it? Too early to comment?
I'm thinking about it. I'll let all of you decide.
Are you really thinking about it?
He said he's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it,
folks. That was not a no.
Okay. That was not a no. We might be breaking news here.
You're not old enough.
Yeah.
You got to be 90 to run the country.
I'm 26. I know it.
I do. I mean, anybody who could field all the requests and complaints from all the gay men in Chelsea while also getting buildings built... has my vote. I don't know who that person is. I don't know who he is, but if he's around.
I was only 6 years old when Cody and I went to college together.
Oh, yeah. Full disclosure, we went to college together.
What? Go Birds?
Yes. The George Washington University.
All right, so...
No one clapped for that? Okay,
so
cool.
Can you sing the fight song?
So Eric did not say no, but there is something that he recently did say no to, and that is a casino in Times Square and Hudson Yards. So in the past week, we've seen all three Manhattan casino bids get voted down by the respective community advisory committees, ending a long and contentious debate. Eric, your chief of staff had a seat on two of these committees for the Times Square proposal and another on 11th Avenue and 40th Street. Was this a tough call? I know this was like a long, long battle. Lots of news stories, lots of emotion. Was it a tough call in the end?
So I don't like voting down any economic development opportunities, but in the end of the day, it really wasn't that tough of a call with respect to how the community really felt about these. And it's important to note that there are other bids in New York City right now that have been able to achieve a lot more consensus. I think in Queens, in the Bronx, the community advisory committees, they're nearly unanimous in support. The Metropolitan Park, there's six community boards touching that proposal. And I believe all six voted in favor of it, which just shocked me that there's that much community support for some of these other proposals.
Do you have a picture of Met Dog with his pockets out and no money? Because that's what's going to happen to that community if that casino is built there.
I will say the temperature was, I didn't hear anybody that wanted the casino. A few people, but most people in our neighborhood were very anti-casino.
Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Casino in Times Square? I think that could preserve the character of Olive Garden's Times Square. Also, tourists need a place to lose their money. Right? They could lose it at a state-sanctioned craps game rather than at an unsanctioned... half decapitated Elmo head guy in the back of an alley doing cocaine off a transformer.
You know,
just the devil's advocate.
Yeah, I do think that the argument that a casino was not in the character of Times Square was not the best argument. But I also think tourists who are coming, they only have so much money that they're going to spend, and they're going to see a Broadway show, or they're going to go to bars and restaurants. If they lose all their money in a casino, then that's I think would hurt local businesses and Broadway.
And so. I will just say that I live in Chelsea. The earth will start to heal once bachelorette parties stop going to gay bars and redirect to casinos where they belong.
Yeah, I tried to legislate that with the bachelorette party.
And what happened?
We're preempted by the state.
God damn it! Kathy Hochul.
I'm going to call someone about this.
You heard it here. Kathy Hochul is pro-bachelorette party.
So something else that Albany decided was the cell phone ban in schools. We're now a few weeks into the cell phone ban. We have a child in middle school now who doesn't have a cell phone yet.
But he doesn't have a phone. He's one of the only children in his class that doesn't have a phone.
We're trying. We're trying.
Old school. We're doing old school.
But Gotham has talked to students who reported that Uno playing was skyrocketing in schools. Kids were getting more steps because they were walking around more and socializing. And one student complained that she just had to stare at the wall when her work was done. Well, a lot of memories. You remember staring at the wall in school? I used to do it all the time.
All the stuff you would do, you'd have like the pencil eraser, you'd like pop it off, and then like, you know,
counting
just
tiles.
Random. Yeah.
Yeah. But
paperclip bracelets.
I think this all sounds great. Governor Hochul showed up on the first day of school. If we could get photo number 5 up. Governor Hochul has a mascot. I don't know if you guys have met Frankie Focus, but she showed up to a Williamsburg middle school earlier this month with her new mascot for the cell phone ban.
Way to ruin a good thing with the creepiest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life.
And for the listeners, this is like a green Muppet with glasses on. But Hochul told the students that Frankie Focus is very focused on learning in school, focused on teachers, and focused on making friends, presumably because he's not focused on a cell phone. Do you think the 11 to 13-year-olds appreciated the visit from Frankie Focus?
Well, he's also the mascot for Adderall, I think. So he's doing double duty there.
I was going to make that joke, but I elected not to. But it's a good one.
It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah.
I think the governor's done the right thing. We're very excited about the
But what do you think of the mascot?
I think the mascot is corny as hell, and maybe you know, a third grader would be excited if Frankie Focus showed up.
No, they would not be. A third grader in New York? It's like, what the hell is that shit? Wait, kids don't like mascots
in here.
All right, pre-K.
I love, he's like fully neon too, so very distracting, not good for focus.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if you've ever taken an iPad away from an iPad kid, you would also want some fluffy stuff around you to take those blows. I would not want to be that guy.
Also, did they commission the creation of a new mascot for this one event?
Yes, our state government has a mascot for this piece of legislation, and I believe, I have not seen the other mascots, but I believe there is a team of mascots, so that we might be meeting some more throughout the year. So.
I will say, there was a posting for this job that came up, and it paid pretty well, and I was kind of sad that my agent didn't send it to me. So if my agents here are listening, I am okay with doing in-live person events if they pay well.
Will shave
and my face is covered.
I did submit a Freedom of Information request to find out the mascot budget of the state government. It's pending, but you guys will be the first to know if I get that back.
All right, want to move on to some transit stuff, some automobile stuff. A Hellgate investigation reveals that the Parks Department has canceled tree plantings near NYPD precincts where cops park on the sidewalk. That's another thing, like when I biked 55 miles, if you guys didn't hear earlier.
Humble brag.
But my son and I were going through a neighborhood and we'd start to see cars on the sidewalk, we would both be like, oh, there's a police precinct nearby. Who's going to find it first? Because that's the only, other than maybe car washes and a couple other like car-centric businesses, that's who parks on the sidewalk. But if we get photo 6 up, this is a photograph of a tree bed that doesn't have a tree in it because the cops had to park. And don't be confused. That doesn't look like a police cruiser, but I guarantee it has a placard in front of it. It's probably a private vehicle owned by a cop. So what's more important, street trees or cop parking on the sidewalk? Tough question.
We got to take advantage of this situation. I've been trying to start a rumor for years, or actually a new stereotype, that cops can't drive. Cops are bad at driving, they're bad at parking, so every time we see one of these, we have to just be like, oh man, it's really tough for them. They're really bad at driving. Women have been shouldering this stereotype for far too long. Let's put it on the cops. Thank you.
So, Gersh, you're somewhat of an expert on precinct parking and placards and illegal plates.
Wow, what a distinction.
If you don't know, Gersh is one of the many things he's famous for is for helping police officers off by taking away the leaf that they've taped to the back of their license plate to avoid tolls and tickets. What do you think? I think this is a pretty good angle. Like, I had never actually occurred. We live near the Midtown North Precinct on 54th Street, and it had never. We are very familiar with their parking that our stroller couldn't get by for years until I finally made them move a couple of cars.
We finally abandoned the stroller because rats were jumping in it.
Right.
Like, just keep it. We're leaving.
Until I read this article, I was like, oh, yeah, there are no trees on that block, or at least that half of the block. I hadn't occurred.
And you won't find bike lanes on a block with a precinct station house because the bike lane will end and there'll be shadows. Arrows or something. They just don't have any interest in the normal transportation process. 51% of cops live in the suburbs, and that means, you know, 85% of cops are driving to work where they get a free parking space because they have a placard, and it's basically corruption. They used to call that the entry-level drug of corruption in city government was the placard, the free parking.
Eric, has there been any news movement on placard corruption? I know that there's been talk of bills and trying to limit it, but I haven't heard of anything lately.
There's been many, many bills that have been passed, and it's one of those really sticky issues that keeps coming back and back again. One of my big issues is the fake license plates and the these things that you can buy on Amazon that obscure your license plates, and they have been doing a big enforcement action, but it's been increasing and increasing with congestion pricing, more and more people doing it. But it's a huge, huge problem because you have folks driving around and God forbid they're involved in like a serious accident or a serious crime, no ability to track them. But it's something that the Department of Investigation has been looking into on and off, and in my opinion, they haven't been looking at it in the seriousness that it deserves. And that's something that, with this new mayor, I think that's one of the first things that the Department of Investigation should look into, because, like you said, corruption is corruption. Even if it's seemingly small, it can lead to larger things later on.
Well, and the type of people that will go out of their way to obscure their license plate are generally the type of people that are willing to commit crimes, go fast.
At the very least, speeding more than 10 miles over the speed limit and triggering speed cameras.
Well, the problem with that is in our investigation, we found that the vast majority of people we found were cops who were doing this. And then, in fairness to the NYPD, they finally sent out a memo telling the cops, if you cover your plate or you obscure it or you scrape off a number, we're going to take your parking placard away. And that, because that's such a big benefit to park in New York for free anywhere you want, any day, anywhere. It's actually stopped. They've stopped doing it to a great degree, and now it's suburbanites coming in for the congestion pricing, covering their plates, obscuring their plates.
So the PD, for the most part, has gotten in line.
It's gotten better. Let's put it that way. When I go out and fix people's plates, it's not as much
because
cops anymore.
You were assaulted and like
never
threatened.
Assaulted. Never
but you
assaulted.
Were threatened.
Well, threatened. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Threatened.
Videos of you being confronted.
No, never in anger.
Okay.
Wait, are you the TikTok guy? The guy on TikTok that goes around exposing all these people?
Yeah,
yes.
I'm that guy.
You're famous. Oh, my God. Yeah, I had no idea.
That's my Pulitzer Deli nominated prize.
I know your partner's here, but that's very attractive.
I have one more cop car topic, which is cop cars and parks. So last month, a police officer driving an NYPD squad car in Flushing Meadows Park ran over a man who was lying down on a park path, killed him. Typically, no vehicles use this path, but police were in the park due to the U.S. Open. Witnesses say the driver was not looking at the road as he slowly rolled over the man, crushing and killing him. But my question is, why are cop cars in parks, period? I walk in Central Park most mornings, and you know, every now and then I'll see a cop car just parked at Bethesda Terrace. It's like, if you have business at Bethesda Terrace, could you walk? Can we have more cops on bikes? Like, wouldn't it also be more efficient? Like, if you're trying to chase Luigi Mangione through Central Park as he's escaping, a car is the worst way to do it. Like, be on a bike so you can go through the ramble and find where he's...
That's when you need a horse. Can you imagine? Guy on a horse taking down Luigi! That would be epic. Free Luigi.
And was that graphic? Was that graphic description necessary of slowly crushing him with the car?
Well, yeah, and with a horse, I don't think a horse can crush a person underfoot. I know they can kick people. You're right. No, this is gauche. I'm sorry.
I did once ask the NYPD why they got rid of the cops on bikes.
You see them every now and then, but they're rare.
Yeah, so this may be apocryphal, so you can just boo or hiss, but a cop told me that they have to go out in pairs, right? So two guys would be biking down, and they'd see a crime, and then one of them has to stay with the bikes because the bikes kept getting stolen. So now the guy is chasing this guy with that. So, okay, maybe that's legit.
Interesting. I never thought about that. No one's going to steal a horse.
No,
right?
No. And the dismount is going to be awkward every time. You can't look cool getting off a bike.
It was around the time of Reno 911 when they stopped using the bikes. I'm just saying.
Coincidence? I think not.
Well, it's just the least, as most people in this room know, being in an automobile is the least efficient way to get around the city. We've had incidents where there was like a disruptive man who was threatening children at a playground on 47th Street, and we called the police precinct at 54th
Gersh,
Street.
I told you to stop doing that.
You're not supposed to call the cops.
This was a 5-year-old's birthday party, and there was an unhinged man swinging a stick around the park. So we called, someone called the cops. You can say that's Karen-ing, but it was a bad situation. And it took them 30 minutes to arrive. The precinct's on 54th, right? I could have walked there and back 10 times, but they arrived in two vehicles. And then pretty soon there were 7 vehicles because they called for backup. And it's like, just walk. Just walk around the neighborhood and help us all out. That's what the rest of us do.
For pro walking. All right, we want to move on and talk about trash bins and the curb. Eric, I know this is something you've been really big on, trash in the streets. Mayor Adams announced an expansion of his trash containerization program to additional neighborhoods in Brooklyn this month. The sanitation department plans to require every building with 30 or more units to put their trash in a large bin in the parking lane rather than piling black bags up for rats to enjoy. However, the department issued a notice recently that says the change may take up to 7 years as a drawn-out environmental impact statement is necessary because the new bins may affect socioeconomic conditions due to the placement of stationary on-street containers in the parking lane. Why is it so hard to solve our trash problem? Yeah, I'm putting that to you specifically.
So we've, in the last few years, and to give this administration credit, and Commissioner Tisch, when she was the commissioner, we've actually made quite a bit of progress with respect to sanitation in New York City and containerization, requiring businesses and restaurants and small residential buildings to containerize their trash and not allowing them to put it out in piles. But the to get to what we see when we go to cities like Barcelona, where they have their trash containerized, that's apparently something that's we're really having trouble getting to that. Now
trouble is like we want to get to where everyone else was in 1980. Yeah. We're like, how about we try these plastic bins that you put your trash in? It's like, yeah, those are called trash cans. And it's like, well, we need 10 years to study it. We'll see if it's good.
Yeah, no, they need to have a series of long, drawn-out conversations with the trash bins to see if they can endorse them.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is not really about trash. It's about parking, right? Because every neighborhood has all this free space against the curb where people store the other trash, which is their car, their privately owned car, in the public space. So it's really, Commissioner Tisch, when she was sanitation commissioner, wanted to do this relatively quickly. One of the problems is whenever you roll this out in a neighborhood, you're on the community board, they start ripping your head off because you want to take a parking space away for public benefit. So.
I think the chair.
I'm just the messenger here.
The chair of the community board is upset. It's an obvious solution. And Summer Streets this year went up through Washington Heights where they did the pilot, and it's great. There's these nice big bins everywhere, and there's no giant mounds of trash bags. So that's great. One other curb issue, which is outdoor dining. Last month, Cody and I, we took a trip to San Francisco, and it was like we had traveled back in time to 2001 New York City with outdoor dining structures full of happy people. They even figured out how to get the bike lanes to go around the sheds instead of like through the restaurants like we had to do here. But so as we wrap up the first summer with the new outdoor dining rules, it feels like the program is a shell of what it once was. So Eric, this is, I'm sorry we're piling on you, Eric. It's another question for you. But do you think the council accidentally killed outdoor dining by making it seasonal? Is there a fix that can bring it back? Because it wasn't.
I think with any law, it's very unusual that legislative bodies get it right the first time. I think we have to continually revisit, and I think that's something we should do here. I think far too few restaurants have participated in it, and that we need to take a look at why that is, including the seasonal aspect, while trying to solve for, you don't want it to be just sitting empty all winter either, so you have to figure that part out. Are you okay with that?
Well, Councilman, I mean, you guys killed the golden goose that was laying the eggs. I mean, you made it a seasonal program, not you personally, but council members made it a seasonal program so that these small restaurants have to break down their nice dining area every November, store it somewhere, and then set it up again in April.
Yeah, but in defense of that, of the seasonality of it, we had a ton of them in our neighborhood that were just toilets. Like, all through the winter,
right,
they were toilets with rats.
You want them to be used. Yeah. You want people to use them. You don't want them to be... we had some that were being used as trash.
Oh, there was that one on 43rd Street that was just filled with trash.
41st and 42nd and 41st on 9th.
That's that trash-themed restaurant, right?
Yes, it was called Trash Restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think looking at what other cities do, I'm a huge fan of looking at what other municipalities do in the United States and beyond, and in San Francisco, if they've figured out how to work some of these things. We have to continually revisit. I reject the idea that because we pass a law, like, that's the way it's going to be. We have to continually study it and revisit it and look at ways to improve it. We're almost at the end of the first season. So I think there should be like a real forensic look at everything that happened, what worked, what didn't. How do we get more restaurants to participate?
If it's already a toilet, let's just make it a safe space for women to fucking bear down.
Put their newspapers
in
front of
put their
them.
Newspapers. What? We
line
need a
the
space.
Whole thing with newspaper. That sounds saying. Great. Sign me up.
All right, just a couple more questions. Another thing, Cody and I also, when we were in San Francisco, we got in a Waymo for the first time. And Waymo is now allowed to start testing on the congested streets of New York City. I saw one on Fifth Avenue last month. They were granted a permit to test out 8 self-driving cars with a driver in the vehicle. In Manhattan, south of Central Park, and some parts of downtown Brooklyn. Critics point out that Waymo has never been tested in a cold weather climate where roads could be slippery, and that the transit should be the future, not autonomous automobiles. But I have to say the Waymo experience did exceed my expectations. It was quite nice and perhaps better than an Uber, and it felt very safe. And I do like the fact that Waymo drivers are not drunk, they're not speeding. You know, I mean, not that they're going to be perfect all the time, but they...
It was a safe distance behind the car in front of it.
We got into a for-hire vehicle as well, and I asked the driver, like, what do you think about all these Waymos? And the driver was complaining, like, well, they're terrible because we'll be at an intersection, all the pedestrians are going, and usually the other cabbies, they know to, like, inch up to try to, you know, and the Waymo just stops and waits for all the pedestrians. So the traffic gets backed up, and I said, well, that sounds great to me, to not have a cab driver, you know, inching up trying to make a right. What do you think, Gersh, about the driverless vehicle? Is it a solution?
The driverless vehicle, what could possibly go wrong, right? No, but, I mean, that's the challenge, right? Because drivers get drunk, they fall asleep, and they suck. Human drivers, I mean. So the promise of technology is that those drivers will be better and they'll stop for pedestrians. But then pedestrians will know that and then the cars will never move and they'll just be gridlock everywhere. And you're right, transit's the only way around that. I mean, who wants more cars?
I'm a little scared of the robots driving me around. I do like, though, you know how Uber has where you can request a female driver?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So because maybe all the women were getting sexually assaulted.
Exactly,
there?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe people like me who are uncomfortable, they can just request non-binary code drivers.
Did you say non-binary code driver?
That was good. That was good. I caught it. I caught it.
Leaving the show.
Thank you so much.
Molly, night,
when you brought up the topic, I already started laughing at the joke I had planned on the way over here. Non-binary code? Come on, that's so funny, man.
All right, one quick bike question.
By the way, I just got that. It took me like 2 minutes. That's really funny.
Thank you.
All right, so I want to talk about city bike pricing real quick. I rode a white city bike for 3 minutes last week. It was a free one because it was the only available bike at the station. You get the white bike for free on low speed or whatever. And the Lyft app told me after my three-minute ride that I had saved $5.46 by being a member. So apparently a three-minute white city bike ride is over $5 now. Should city bike cost more than the subway? Annual membership is now $220 a year, up from $99 when it started. Eric or Gersh or Molly, do you think that the city should maybe take a little more ownership of city bike and subsidize it?
Well, one of the great services we do at Streets Blog every 4 years is we ask the mayoral candidates, would you put public money into Streets Blog? And the current mayor...
Into city bike. Into just said Streets Blog. Although,
sorry.
If you've just admitted it, you ask that.
For the record.
Public corruption. You heard
but
it here tonight.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. Now, thank you. No, but so we ask them about city bike. Would you put public money into it? And they always say they will, and if, including Eric Adams, which he didn't do. And what he did, in fact, is he ordered them to lower the speed limit of a city bike from 18 to 15 miles per hour, which might be prudent. We can debate that at another time. But what it does is it makes your ride longer, meaning you're going to pay more. So they lowered the speed, but they didn't lower the price.
It's like 17% longer or something. Yeah.
You don't always hit 18, but you have the potential.
Yeah.
Say you're going 10 miles, you could do the math on that. And so now your city bike ride is even more expensive, and we didn't get anything back for that. So that's just a pet peeve. But
Eric, I see you on city bikes around the neighborhood a lot. Do you think the pricing has gotten out of control?
It's my number one form of transportation. I take city bike every day, uptown, downtown, east, west, and it is expensive. But one of the problems with the pedal assist bikes is once you start using them, you can't go back to the regular bikes. It's like there's peanut butter in the gears. And I think to myself, how did I do this for 10 years? So,
but, you know, the bikes have gotten worse. I think that's another point, because every now and then I'll get on a Blue City bike that's just really well-tuned and is excellent. And I would prefer that to a white bike, but too often you get on the city bike clunkers. So I think, you know, with all the money they're charging us, they need to be repairing the
well,
bikes.
Well, also, you use it for work. So you're going to events, like, if I'm going to an audition or something, like, the electric bike is like, oh, I'm not dripping in sweat by the time I'm somewhere. So it's a really wonderful form of transportation to be like, oh, I cruise down here and I still look like I'm, you know, a normal human being and not like a...
You should come work at Streets Blog because we're all dripping with sweat all the time. So it's an occupational hazard.
All right, one final lightning round question. If we could have photo number 7 up. Is this a bike, yes or no? So for the listening audience on the podcast, this is an Amazon Prime delivery vehicle. The driver of it does pedal. It's pedal assist, electric assist, but it has 4 wheels and it's mighty big. Is it a bike?
Is it playing New York?
It's not a bike.
It looks pretty androgynous to me, so I'm going to let it decide.
I'm going to say definitely a bike.
Definitely a bike. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a bike. I think it's, you know what it's not? It's not a truck. It's not an Amazon van.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And my only beef with these is a lot of times the guys make deliveries, they leave them in the bike lane when they're making the delivery, and that backs things up. All right. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug? Eric, you running for anything you want to plug? You're up for election in November.
I'm up for re-election in November. Please vote on November 4th.
You seem quite calm about that
Eric
re-election.
Eric Botcher for 4 more years.
Do you have an opponent?
I do have an opponent in the general election.
Okay, well, we won't say their name because we don't know it. Gersh, anything you'd like to plug?
I always just plug Streets Blog NYC. Visit us every day and give some money and put some comments.
I heard you're being funded by the next mayor.
You got a little potato chip bag full of cash for Streets
Blog? Nobody ever gives me a potato chip bag full of cash.
There's fucking potatoes in there.
Molly, how about you?
If you're in New York, come to Littlefield every third Thursday for entirely from memory improvised movies. Very fun.
Amazing. And your work? You want to mention your work?
I work for an organization called Abortion Access Front. So we're doing great. Check us up. Check us out. Help us out. Please.
On Saturday, we're having an adoption event, a pet adoption event on 23rd between 8th and 9th in front of the SVA Theater. Come by and meet your forever friend, your new family member. We're going to have dogs and cats up for adoption on Saturday.
Our kids are listening to this. We're not going.
Make sure they pass out those green bags, too, for all the new dogs at our neighborhood.
Our next show, again, October 29th at 7 p.m. We also have a November show the day before Thanksgiving.
That's right. So come back and see us. Again, let's give our whole panel a round of applause, please. What a great panel. And thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Come back and see us another time. Subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram. I think we're at NIMBY Show. And we want to thank Tyler Walker, who does our theme music. Yep. We want to thank the UCB Theater for having us here. And please remember to vote
in midterm elections.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad.